This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We often do not think about the waste management industry, and we especially don't consider the differences in the roles that men and women play within it. Today on Her Vantage, the show all about women of influence and leadership, I'm speaking to Georgina Nietzsche, one of the founders of Women of Waste, to discuss the gender effects in waste management, as well as the role of the International Solid Waste Association within the world's waste management industry stuff, I suppose. So first of all, thank you so much, Georgina, for coming and speaking to me today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's particularly brilliant to be in Malaysia. Malaysia is a leading, voice in waste management around the world. I don't think your audience maybe know that, but something to be proud of.
Yay! Awesome. Good to know. And also a really incredible opportunity to have you actually in the studio because you are actually based in Vienna.
Yeah, that's right. I'm working for the International Solid Waste Association, and the headquarters for that is in Vienna in Austria in Europe. So it's my first time in Malaysia, and I'm here for our annual World Congress, which takes place this year, hosted by the Waste Management Association of Malaysia.
Let's kind of start off with a bit of an introduction to what we'll be talking about today, which is the Women of Waste group. So could you tell us briefly what Women of Waste is and what you guys do?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, being the Waste Association representing the international scene, we were approached by several women asking us, you know, for support. And it seemed to me that when people are asking for support, there's a need for it. And we met and we decided to found a group that would be, let's say, hosted by ISWA. So we're an informal group of women around the world who've come together to highlight women specifically working in as professionals, but also as, informal sector as well, because there's both within the waste management sector. We want to highlight ourselves. We want to be proud and throw a spotlight onto our successes, because we're not getting enough of the limelight. And also to support those who are finding it difficult as women, as female managers, as engineers in the sector, and also those who struggle as informal workers. So we want to shine a light, we want to uplift, we want to support, and that's our mission right now.
Excellent. Okay. You know, I think maybe some of our listeners might not be aware of what the waste management industry even is as well, because I don't think it's something that we talk about a lot. So, you know, discuss that with me as well and explain what kind of area that the waste management industry covers.
That's actually part of the problem. People throw their waste into a bin or even worse on the floor and have no idea what happens to it. So when we think about the waste management litter, you want to think about all those people who process it, whether it goes eventually to landfill or whether it's recycled. We're specifically talking about solid waste management. So that's, you know, paper materials, metal, plastic, and all of those mixed materials, which are really difficult to deal with. That's our people then who are working in that sector.
All right, fantastic. So the Women of Waste group has been in operations for just over a year now. But as you mentioned, you know, with the kind of challenge of, ignorance, mm-hmm. is the way to put it. What are some other challenges as well that the group has faced so far?
We're an international group, and I'm proud to say we're a zero-budget group, so that's a challenge in itself. But what's inspiring, is against this difficulty of international time zones, of languages, also access to online tools. Let's say a recent survey done of informal waste pickers in a neighboring country in Vietnam showed that 98% of those people don't even have access to smartphones. So our difficulty is reaching and finding out who we are, and across all the different countries in the sectors. That's actually one of the reasons why we did our study. We launched a study last year at the opening of Women of Waste in Baltimore last year in September. And it was really to find out where we are, what we're doing, how we do it. And we were amazed at the results.
Right. We'll kind of get onto those results as well, because you also conducted the first global survey of women working in the waste sector. But, you know, let's kind of focus on the role that women play, because it's so specific, right, to have a group dedicated to specifically women in a very specific waste management industry. You know, but what is the kind of impact of women in the waste management industry, and how does it differ from the impact that men might have?
Well, firstly, you're right. This is a very specific group. And it was about time that we had our turn, because if you look internationally, there are many different groups associated for women in engineering or women in nuclear waste. And so it was time we had our own group. And with the massive response that we had in our launch, we realized we were touching a nerve. So when you look at the roles that women are playing, and that was why we did our global survey, we found out that we have the majority of women are informal waste pickers, but we also have women who are waste managers. That means that they do the planning and figure out where the truck should go to pick up your waste and what's the most efficient way of doing it. We have women who are working around the world and in development. We have female engineers who are actually part of recycling. We have women who have many of their own companies. There are many female entrepreneurs out there. And that's one of the challenges of actually reaching smaller organizations. So these people are collecting waste, processing waste. We have some great stories from women who in Sweden, for example, have set out a mission to break up old chips and make sure all their parts get recycled. We have Nigerian members who have kind of women-only picking litter picking groups. We have people from India who take old materials and recycle them into, let's say, upscale them into handbags and T-shirt dresses and things. So when you think about that, there's a lot of different ways of being involved in the waste sector.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I think a lot of people are not aware of the kind of impact and are not aware about these things that a lot of people are doing within this industry and such.
That's right. And when you asked me before about, you know, how is the role different for women and men? One of the things we see is that women are often those who are doing very precise work. I once went to a sorting factory in the Netherlands, and I saw only women working in collecting of the conveyor belts, and I felt very strongly about this, and I asked, why is it only women? He said, please let it be only the women. They're so fast, so effective. We really like only to have women doing these fine jobs. And that's what we see. Women are working on the conveyor belts, they're selecting materials. If you think about your stereo or your iPod, when that gets smashed down, it's women who are breaking up the cables, picking out the different materials, because they're so, let's say, precise and handy with that. But that's not the only thing. We have a majority of women being involved in administrative roles, communication roles. And you may not realize it, but communication is a super important part of the waste sector. So we're glad to have women's skills in that that part particularly.
Could you expand on that? Like, why is communication so important?
Yeah, it's underrated. You wouldn't know that. But what they found specifically in Germany when they wanted to increase their recycling rates is that you have to talk to the public. You have to get out there and explain what you need to do and change people's behavior. And not only behavior, but attitudes towards waste. Stop seeing it as something yucky and nasty and smelly, but rather see it as a sacred resource that has to be looked after and cherished. So when you require that, you need people who go out there and communicate and be consistent. Germans found as soon as they stopped communicating, behavior slipped back. So it's a really important sector. One thing I also learned recently, there are people who go around the houses in Bangalore and also Ho Chi Minh City, and they knock on the doors and take waste directly from people's houses. Well, it's mostly the women who have good access because of their good relationship building skills, also access to houses where there might also just be women in traditional families still at home. So we mustn't underestimate the role of communication, reaching out to people consistently.
And you found all of this from your survey?
Yes, and also the wonderful response we had to Women of Waste. People have written in with their stories and what they do. One of my pleasures is to interview other women and find out how they're getting involved. I find the relationship building quite interesting. That's always important, but also the entrepreneurial skills. What's important to see is that many women are getting into the waste sector because it offers them a chance to have income for their families. We have lots of single women and getting at the second-hand resources, the recycling, for example, or upcycling, has been a great way for them to have an independent way of earning money for their families.
All right, really interesting. You know, actually, let's focus on that survey for a little bit as well. As I mentioned earlier, it's the first global survey of women working in the waste sector. So how did you guys kind of arrange that? How did you manage to do this? And kind of what did the survey kind of comprise of, I suppose?
You're right. It's the first global survey. There are definitely researches done in individual countries, but this is the first time we've reached out to women all around the world. And of course, the internet was going to be the first tool we used for that. We've done a simple survey asking women also just to log in on their mobile phones, wherever they are, to answer about seven to 10 questions. And what we've asked them to do then is to identify where they consider themselves on the waste hierarchy. The waste hierarchy might be unfamiliar to your listeners, but if you think about the food hierarchy, think about that triangle where they say you have proteins at the top and grains and at the bottom, for example. Well, we have something like that for the waste hierarchy. What's the best way to manage waste? The best way is, of course, to prevent it in the first place. And the worst case scenario is to put it in landfill. And that's our hierarchy. So we've asked women to identify where they fit in the waste hierarchy. What we found is very few women are involved in landfill, and very many are involved in recycling and upscaling. And that coincides also, what we found is, with ages. So the older a woman has been active in the waste sector, the more likely they're going to have been involved in landfill, because in the past those were the main options. But not what we see is we have younger, well-educated women coming into the sectors for recycling, design, prevention, all those communication sectors I've seen. So that ties in with the reality that we're experiencing in our waste association.
Right. And roughly how many women responded to the survey as well?
About 1,000 women responded to the survey, which I'm very happy about, considering that this is the first of its kind. We found that we got a very good coverage, 97 countries, definitely more in Europe. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that this was done by our main contact. So we send, you have to look at every survey and really see how it's done. But I was very happy to see we had respondents from Malaysia, of course, as well. Many from Indonesia were, and also a lot from Sweden, but also from Latin American countries, quite well represented. So I'm really pleased to see that this is really a global survey.
All right, fantastic. Well, it's time for a short break now for some music. But after that, I will continue speaking to Georgina Nietzsche all about the Women of Waste Group and the waste management industry. So stay tuned to her Vantage on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Mishmash, BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the show all about women of influence and leadership. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking to Georgina Nietzsche, one of the founders of Women of Waste. And we've been discussing essentially what the waste management industry even is, and the fact that the Women of Waste group did the first global survey of women working in the waste sector. But let's kind of go back to what you guys do, because so far within your kind of just over a year of operations, you have mainly run kind of sessions and advocacy campaigns to promote awareness and visibility of women within the waste sector, I suppose. So I was wondering, you know, apart from just promoting awareness and visibility, what kind of work have you or are you guys planning to do on a kind of ground level?
Well, just to start with, I have a little exercise for your readers. When they finish listening to this program, type in the word engineer into their Google search, perhaps, and see what comes up in terms of images. You won't find many women on there, I guess. And that's the first thing we want to challenge. We want to make sure that when people think of the word engineer, when they think of waste management, when they think of recycling, they also consider in their mind's eye women. That's what we'd like to have, first of all. Secondly, we'd like to make sure that women are included in the management boards. And this is an age-old challenge, but we see ourselves in a good way. There are plenty of women, this survey showed, there are plenty of women in management potential positions. And we'd like to make sure that their voice is heard. One of the things that we founded this group for was because many of the female engineers still feel they're working in a boys' club and still feel sidelined. And despite, of course, having PhDs in some cases or high management professional positions, they still feel as if they're sidelined in meetings. So one of my personal missions is to make sure that we offer empowerment training. Somehow we'd like to do this in different regions maybe, or online training courses. At the moment, we want to share inspirational stories. It's one way of encouraging women as well to speak up. People show how they came through their own struggles, especially those who have been entrepreneurs. We have great stories coming from, I mentioned Nigeria earlier. That's one case where one woman set up her own business, and we have many of those stories. And also women who were working, for example, in waste management in Disneyland. You've got to think about fun parks too. So she talks about how she used that experience to bring sustainability to Disneyland. So one of the things we are finding as well is that many women are motivated in the career for sustainability, and we want to empower women with training courses so that they can talk at these tables with scientific knowledge, with conviction, with passion. That seems to be a very persuasive tool. We also want to highlight the work done by organizations who are supporting, let's say, independent waste pickers, and the dangers of those women who are working at landfills or without health and safety protections. We want to highlight and spotlight and support those organizations. ISWA already has, let's say, a closed dump sites campaign, and we want to make sure that women are treated with a high level of attention in these scenarios. They're working often without masks, without protection, directly at landfills with their children. So we want to make sure that they have access to education about how to look after themselves as well.
Wow, I think that covers such an incredible amount of ground, you know, in terms of what all the concerns of the waste management industry and also specifically women's role within it as well. Because I think, again, a lot of our listeners, and even me before I did my research for this interview, had no idea any of this was happening, pretty much. You know, as you mentioned before the break, people tend to just kind of throw away their stuff and then forget about it ever existing in the first place. So, you know, to really shine a spotlight on that and to really also to educate people, I think that's the key kind of phrase, right? The key word here is education, because, you know, I think a lot of people, they also tend to zone out, right? Whenever you kind of bring up the whole, like, oh, recycle, reduce, reuse, whatever, like, then they kind of, all these people talking about this, and they zone out. But I think, you know, talking about it from this perspective is so interesting. And some of the women that you've mentioned and some of their stories is so fascinating. And I would kind of like you to share maybe some of those stories of these really fascinating, interesting women that you've encountered within your work for women of waste.
That's the most motivating part for me, actually, is when I meet women from all around the world and see what drives them. That gives me energy, actually. A quick example were two women who run a bio-waste station on the island of Crete in Greece. These are women who are driven to set up a system because they see something's not working and they see that it can be done better. Most of them are actually really interested in protecting the environment as well. So those are two women who got together and are now running a bio-waste. So that means that bio-waste, for our listeners, we're talking about their kitchen waste in this case, but also their garden waste. So if you have a big green fields and everything. So they're collecting this waste, processing it, putting it back onto the soils, which is nourishing the soils for the future. So those two women are quite inspiring because they are now run, you know, they now have employees of 30 people. And they started with just this feeling you have to do something. I'm aware of several initiatives in the Asian region, actually. So I've mentioned already in the show in Bangalore and in Ho Chi Minh City. But I've also met two British women who are setting up beach cleaning in Indonesia as well. They have marine litter is a big issue. So waste that gets into the waterways drifts out to sea. And I'm sure it's very well known for your listeners here in Malaysia, of course, the problems with plastic ending up in our oceans, and the microplastic as well. So they have gone to clear up the beaches and these tidal surges, and they're going to use the plastic and recycle it into different products. There's a lot of potential for that. So this is just inspired by people who want to see change, and they can make money at the same time. In Asia as well, I know you have women working in India at landfill sites where they are collecting the waste directly and recycling it, upcycling it into new products. And one in particular is a group of women who make greeting cards from old paper. So it's a way of having access to resources as well. One of the things I've seen is that as waste now becomes a resource, yeah, there's money in waste as opposed to being thrown away, it gives women new access to having a hand in how our resources are managed around the world. So it's bigger than waste even. I mean, in the first wave of women were very much left out of who has access to first level resources. But this is a new opportunity for women to get involved in waste management and recycling and have businesses for themselves.
Right. Okay. And you also mentioned at the beginning of the show some interesting facts about Malaysia's kind of involvement in the waste management industry. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, Malaysia is surprisingly forward for the region in terms of managed landfill. So that means if you were to go to a place where waste is just thrown into the land here, it's very well sealed so that no toxic substances can drain into the land. And it's well managed so that no smells or odor go out into the air. So that's quite different to some neighboring countries. You have reasonable recycling rates, and I know that your organizations are working and companies are working hard for that. And you're quite technically advanced. I've seen in some areas in the north they have a card system where you can throw your recycling away, you charge up your card, and then donate that money directly to charity. So that's quite a user-friendly way and let's say a direct feedback way for people in Malaysia to live and manage with their waste.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. We're actually running out of time, but before we end the interview, first of all, in brief, you know, we mentioned the International Solid Waste Association. They actually chose Malaysia as a place to host their event, which is very nice. But just briefly talk about the kind of support that they give Women of Waste as well.
The International Solid Waste Association is really the home of Women of Waste. They offer Women of Waste a platform for us. We have our own webpage there, and through them we'll be conducting the training programs and the awareness programs. So every time there's an event, we have the chance to promote women. This year at the World Congress, we're going to have a session dedicated to women and men in gender awareness, let's say, for waste management. And we're really grateful to our host, the Waste Management Association of Malaysia, for supporting us at the Congress directly, for giving us a chance, for example, to be on this show and to highlight how well women are doing here and the potential for opportunities as well for women in Malaysia too.
All right, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Regina, for coming in and speaking to me all about Women of Waste today on Her Vantage. If you've missed any of this interview, you can actually go to our website, bfm.my/podcast. You can also download our app. That's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. But for now, stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.